But friends, today we are continuing our journey on finding freedom. I just want to welcome everybody that's watching us online. Thank you for joining us and for connecting. Myself and Amo are going to be sharing with us our next installment around finding freedom. And today we are speaking about the finding freedom from racism. Now, I know for many of us, we feel like, yes, Gareth, do you really need to talk about this? We look at this church. We are very diverse. We can make connected, you know, committed. But what I found is, friends, all of us need to grow. A few weeks ago during our Increase series, I spoke to us about God's heart for inclusivity. And I shared with us just from a biblical New Testament expression that it's God's desire for us to be unified and to have a heart for every nation, tribe, and tongue. And today we're going to be speaking about just practically from our own lives. Maybe it's going to be a little bit of a discussion, a bit of teaching, a bit of a discussion between myself and Amu. And just so that we would maybe become a bit more aware of this particular challenge, because it is a challenge. I've had the privilege of traveling to different parts of the world. Friends, this is a challenge for every people group. Every person on the planet has opportunities to feel a sense of separation and even prejudice. Some of those things are systemic, which is what we'll be talking about today. Some of those things are just part of our personal biases that we develop over time based on our experiences and generalizations we make. And so I want to ask you to open your heart. Some of the things we may share, you might be very challenged by. And I want to start off by saying for myself and Amu, we've been challenged by this. Him and I are having conversations in this particular regard many, many times. And then I'll be asking him, Amu, please help me understand. And then there's sometimes he comes to me and says, Gareth, please, man, I don't understand. And today's is going to be more of a conversation. I want us to open up our hearts to hear what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to us, align ourselves with what God wants to say and has said to us through His Word, and embrace the freedom that God wants to bring. Because I do believe there is power. Can you imagine a life that you and I could live where we are free from not only our emotional struggles and experience we've had, but we're actually free from some of the things that get put on us by society, by our lives and what we've experienced, so that we can actually experience the benefit of the relationship God wants us to build with one another, no matter what gender or racial or cultural differences we may have in that. So let me pray for us as we get into God's Word together. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your presence here by Your Spirit. Lord, we pray as we share the Word that we would really and truly share what is on the heart of God, not a man's opinion, not experiences or stereotypes or just assumptions, Lord, but truly we would hear with sensitivity what You are wanting to say to us, Lord. We pray also, Lord, that You would give us open hearts for You to do healing where healing is needed, Lord. That You'd bring restoration where restoration is needed. And Lord, that in every aspect of our lives, Lord, we would walk in the fullness of what You have for us, because You want us to be free. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So friends, I'm going to ask Amu to maybe just kick us off just from a biblical standpoint. What does the Bible say about race, and why is it an issue to address?
I think it's an issue to address because all of us, first of all, were created in the image and after the likeness of God, irrespective of the color of our skin. That's why even after the fall of man, still the Bible tells us that man is the image of God. And, you know, whoever sheds blood, his or her blood shall be shed as well. But more importantly, when you look at Jesus on the cross, obviously we haven't really gotten a picture closer to how He looked. But as Isaiah speaks in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 to 7, and Isaiah 52, verse 14, and Matthew writes as well in Matthew chapter 27, verse 30. You could tell that his face was completely mad with his own blood. As a result, if you didn't know that he was a Jew, as you passed by Golgotha, you couldn't tell whether Is he a Palestinian? You couldn't tell whether was he from North Africa, which could be Libya or Egypt, because he was disfigured and his face was so spoiled. But what amazes me about that is that what was on his face is what all of us have. If we were to cut our skins here, no one would have a blue blood or a black blood. All is going to come out of us, it's red blood. And I believe that as Jesus was hanging on that cross, he was representing the face that we're supposed to be as a church.
And so, friends, all of us come from Adam. All of us were born from God. God gave birth to the human race. And as a result, obviously, with different places we live and, you know, geography and all of those things, there's a lot of things that have happened. And in the world that we live in, we would want to make those distinctions. But it's almost shared with us that at the very core of who we are and who God has created us to be, we are all the same. We might look different on the outside, but it's not, God doesn't look to the outside. He looks at the heart of men. And as followers of Christ, if we look at it from a scriptural perspective, God wants us to embrace this as our reality. We have now been brought into a new life, a new expression, a new reality. And we shouldn't be, yielding ourselves to some of the norms and things that would be put under us, but allow God to help us to express that and to walk this out as well.
That's good, Gareth. I really like that. This is the opportunity that I feel personally that we have. When you look at the whole church, you can tell that we are just few races short to really represent how heaven looks like. And it's an opportunity. Even our numbers, it's an opportunity. But now what is great about that, it's that we need to take the next step. How do we then harness our strength, which is our numbers? We need to come into a place wherein we look beyond our skin color and say, God brought us together for a specific purpose, and that's what we're going to focus on.
In the area of race specifically, there are aspects of systemic racism. In other words, systems that have been put together that perpetuate a particular way of thinking and treatment of one another. And that's a reality. We can't, dismiss that. We've obviously, as South Africans, and this happened, by the way, all over the world. We're not that unique. But throughout the world, we see one tribe or one people group oppressing and taking over another, choosing to put systems and processes in place to advantage one or the other. And that is not just a black and white thing. We see that the caste systems in India is a reality that we see, based on the lightness of your skin and the tribe you come from, that is where your standing in society would be. So it is a human aspect. But what I've found in my life, and I'm sure you've experienced this as well, is that I can choose to be a product of my circumstance, to be submitted under that system and process of way of thinking, or I can say, no, under God's system, I've now come into a new kingdom, a new way of life. And so I'm not going to submit myself and even sometimes face persecution because I choose to go against the systems and the norms. That for many of us, certainly in our history and even in our present age, we can experience great persecution and sometimes even experience hardships by that. And I know as I'm speaking, for some of us, even right now, you are under and have experienced the results of a system that's biased towards a particular people group. So some of us have been overlooked for promotion. Some of us, maybe you're a business person, entrepreneur, you've been unable to access opportunities because of the color of your skin or the race that you hold. And I want to encourage us that yes, we may live in a society which still continues to perpetuate these systems, but we should not come under them. In other words, have our view of people be shaped by these systems. Because it's so easy for us to do that. Oh, everybody's, they're all like this. If only, you know, and then we begin to point fingers, and we actually, I think it hurts us rather than helps us. And so rather to choose then, well, if I have been disadvantaged, what actions can I take? What opportunities are there? What relationships can I form? And this has been a beautiful aspect that I've seen. We as the human race, we're very resilient. We find ways to work around some of the challenges that society may bring, even governmental systems. Because I believe our what unites us as the human beings is the reality that we can experience through our love, through our concern for one another, and our intentional steps that we take to say, listen, I'm not going to submit myself, but I'm going to find a way to walk around it. I mean, when Peter has this epiphany moment in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 28, it says the following. It says, he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law, the Jewish law, for a Jew to associate with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Even if the laws that we maybe have, society has said, this is how we're supposed to, God has shown us that we should not look at any person or any situation simply based on our experiences. So I'm growing up in a society that clearly has been divided, but now we've been coming to a new dispensation. We are now almost 30 years into our democracy, and lots of changes have happened, but some of those changes haven't necessarily happened quick enough. What's your experience been, and how have you perhaps been influenced by some of these experiences and realities that we faced with?
You know, it's a different story, obviously, altogether with me. I can recall a few years when we were younger, probably I was 10 or 11. My father had a friend from Pretoria, and he happened to be white. So he would often visit our home, and we had an opportunity to play with his kids. I think they were close friends because he would drive all the way from Pretoria just to greet him. But I see today with some of my friends, I think I shared this even with Gareth, there are some of my friends who maybe don't even understand how am I able to relate with Gareth or any of you here, because to them, it's as if, you know, the wall that we've had for years, it can't be broken down. And we can't unite, we can't relate as we're supposed to. But I think it should be a different language when it comes to us as a church. Yes, the world can be propagating something that maybe is meant to divide us, but as a church, our perspective should be different. I mean, as Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 puts it, it's one tribe, one nation, one language, and it's or rather different tribes, different languages, different nations. It's supposed to be like that. I mean, I had a conversation with somebody, I won't forget this, and he said to me, I will never ever find myself in a church where it's only white people. I like it at our church the way we are. And for all of us, we should embrace that. And in embracing it, we shouldn't hold back in maybe the gifts and the talents that God has given us to serve Him. We should make sure that that finds an expression, because the reason that you are here is because God wants you here. And it would be a waste of time, not just only on God, but on you as well, that you are here, but you find it difficult to really connect, integrate, and be part of what God is doing in his church.
Now, you're touching on something interesting, Amu, is that all of us, I think, can relate to this fact that we've got friends and family members and acquaintances and people that would almost not understand. They struggle to understand why we would even embrace a kind of a relationship. Willing to walk across the aisle, so to speak, build the relationships, engage, not be a spectator, but actually say, I'm going to be a participant in that. Now, what's interesting is often our stereotypes get broken down the quickest when we actually have a conversation with someone. When we actually engage in finding out someone's story, because from the outside, you know, when we only look at things from the outside, we only really see the differences. You are not like me. And I guess if you're married, husbands and wives, if you look at each other, you are not like one another. But I can guarantee you, the fact that you and I engage with our spouses with a desire to get to know one another, to love one another, to serve one another, to be as Christ would show, building a covenantal relationship where we prefer one another, where we get to know one another, then all of a sudden there is great fruitfulness that comes from a marriage. In the same sense, even in our kind of togetherness, we're able to overcome some of those challenges because we're asking some of those questions. Now, have you found, Amu, in terms of that kind of, how have you been able to overcome some of those barriers? Maybe some practical things you've done in terms of engaging, maybe, or growing, or just being able to say, listen, this is how I've overcome some of those challenges or oppositions even that have come as a result of engaging in a multiracial space.
I think in our setting, what has been helpful to me, it's that when I don't understand, I ask. Because what you don't understand can make you withdraw when you are supposed to press in. But because you don't understand, for example, if all you seeing on the front, it's Gareth, it's Bertus, it's Mad Dog, and any other person, then the perception, which obviously according to me it's fallacious, it would be that then this church is for white people. But you came into that conclusion without asking specific questions to say, how do I become part of what is happening? Is it only for the few to step up and stand in the front and share a word? Whether a word of encouragement or a prophecy or pray. Because if you don't break that perception that maybe is for the only special few, then you are stuck where you at. And let me reiterate, everybody that is in this church, you didn't choose by your own to be here. God brought you here. And there's a reason why you are here. Whatever you're sitting on could significantly contribute to the moving forward, the advancing of this church in accomplishing the purpose for which God planted this church here in Klerksdorp. I believe that we are the way we are because we must send a message to our nation. We must send a message to our continent. We must send a message to the whole world that it is possible to coexist without pretentious postulations, but us loving one another as we should, respecting one another as we should. And more importantly, having a heart, which is one heart, that, Lord, we can serve you together. We can serve you out of love, and we can serve while we genuinely love one another. It's possible. It's possible.
Yo, friends, he's getting his preach on here. I'm excited. I'm enjoying the friends again. Even this reality of differences. Do you see the strength and the beauty that God releases when each of us step in and we express who God has made us to be for the benefit of the body, for the benefit of, and I mean in James, you're going to be in your life group, you're going to be sharing and be studying this passage in James chapter 2. But there's basically what happens there is James is confronting the church and he says to them, you know, when somebody comes in and they're well-dressed, you know, and they look like they've got some money, business person or they're influential or something, you say to them, come sit here in the seat of honor. But the person that comes in that's not well-dressed, that's poor, you say to them, come and sit here at my feet. You don't get a special seat. He rebukes them and he says to them, you know, but if you show favoritism, you sin. And you have and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. We are breaking God's law by showing favoritism. Favoritism in any form. Whether I prefer a particular style, an approach, or history, or heritage, versus another. And often, our friends, I've experienced this so many times. I've had this conversation with Omar many times. I've been, please help me understand. I don't understand. And then when we have a conversation, we get to actually see, wow, okay, there's something in you that I actually can learn from. There's a benefit I can draw from. But there's also an opportunity that I can celebrate. I can bring forth the gifts. The priesthood of all believers, we are living stones being built up together for God's glory. Each and every one of us expressing who we are, not feeling like I've got to express myself in a certain way. I see this happening in Potch, for instance, as an interesting example. So if you go to our Potch congregation, they're meeting in an old church building. It was built in 1872. For some reason, the worship in Potch, they really do sing loud and they enjoy it, especially with the high ceiling. It's a beautiful space. But what's interesting is, in general, people, whether they are white or black, whether they come from whatever church tradition they come from, in general, people are a little bit more reserved in that space. Because they walk in and in their minds, I'm going to say this in Afrikaans, but you would see that those signs outside churches. Stilte Kerk, silence church. So just by virtue of the environment, we feel some level of, I would say, we're forced almost to respond in a particular way. And so sometimes what we may feel like, the environment is maybe pushing my buttons a bit. I'm uncomfortable. It's just simply because it's the environment. It's not necessarily even a person. It's not even necessarily the presence of God or the songs we sing or how the delivery. It's just simply because of the environment we find ourselves in. So I want to ask you and I, what kind of environment are you creating? And how do you engage, whether it's in your workplace, in your family, in your social gatherings? You know, I'm talking, sometimes we talk about a physical space, but sometimes it's just an attitude, a vibe we create. And those vibes often can be created just by simply the way we interact with one another. And I want to just lead into another question maybe. I'm going to share about this as well, but what have you seen as being sometimes unhelpful things in terms of our environment and how we interact with one another that sometimes perpetuates the barriers and the boundaries we would experience, especially within the church?
That's good. That's good. I feel that, you know, sometimes it's a barrier. For example, if you having a guy like me who is coming, you know, all the way from Mpumalanga, Lowveld, Bushbuck Ridge. I did Afrikaans at school. I can hear some of the things. But that was long time ago. I find it very hard to engage in a conversation. If, let's say, I found Bert and is chatting with someone, at least I can give an example about you, and is chatting with someone and they're chatting in Afrikaans, and, you know, I'm greeting them. I would love to stand even for 2 minutes or 3 minutes with them, but the conversation continues in Afrikaans. My attitude changes altogether. And next time it would be very difficult for me to try to sort of gel in and maybe be part of whatever is happening there. Obviously, I know that when I step into their conversation or their space, I'm not supposed to say anything. But if their conversation will go on, let's say in Afrikaans, for like 3 minutes, then I know I'm not supposed to be standing there. And that will make it difficult for me to access their space next time. Even if you find that it's now birthed with another person, I'll be like, no, I'm not going to be part of that. And that doesn't help to build. In a sense that it doesn't resemble the picture that we are having right now at all. Because look at the way we are. We are mixed throughout. And like I said, it's an opportunity. And sometimes you might not maybe leave your conversation, but greet the person and check on the person. And if the person can read, the person will leave. That no, these people possibly are chatting about something important that has got nothing to do with the church or me. And so you leave. And even with us, maybe from the African community, I believe that, you know, we have a responsibility to sort of stretch ourselves in a way. If let's say I come in here, you know, my mind shouldn't say, when I come in, I'm going to meet up with Bob Edwin, I'm going to meet up with Bob David, because those are the ones that I often spend time with outside church. We should try to interact. Should try to interact and have conversations. I mean, they might start small, little things, little here, little there, but we build from that. I mean, check on a person. How are you doing? How's your wife? How are your kids? And we build from that. That will help to break that invincible wall that we're having among us, although we get into the same church. It's not supposed to be like that. And I honestly believe that, like Gareth has mentioned, there's a lot that we can learn from each other. There's a lot I can learn from him. There's a lot he can learn from me. There are things that he excels at that I don't excel. And possibly there are things that I excel at that he doesn't excel. There are things that he sees that I don't see. Even in me, there are things that sometimes he would say to me, but do you see this and that? And I'm like, no, I was in aware of that. And that's how a church is supposed to be. If we say we are a living church, we must be able to interact with one another. It shouldn't be known that when you get to church, the only people that you interact with, it's so and so. We should be able to go just around, greet somebody, love somebody. You just never know. The person that you are greeting might be in need of prayer. And as you check on them, they say to you, I've been struggling with this and that. This is the challenge that I'm faced with. And then you minister to such a person. Like Gareth mentioned, the priesthood of all believers. That's where it comes in.
Your friends, I think also in terms of some of these barriers, and like Amu, like you touched on in terms of, especially in terms of our conversation. Now, I once was invited to a joint prayer meeting, you know, from the whole city was there, and I found myself literally being the only white person at this prayer meeting, and everything that was happening in a language that I could not understand, and it made me feel like, what am I doing here? Why am I even here? My wife and I, we both have had experiences, and maybe you've had experiences, just as what Amu explains. You know, you're trying to engage in the conversation, but someone continues in a language that you don't understand. And that causes a division. And also causes, in unintentionally sometimes, a level of separation. And a level of saying, I'm rejecting you. I'm not accommodating. I'm not drawing you in. And I think if we had to really take stock, friends, in every circumstance, just about, if we really looked at it, if we wanted to make this a big challenge or issue for us, we could all, in some way, feel like we're the minority. I'm the least, and these other people are more than me, you know? And we can make that as a massive challenge, or we could say, actually, this is an opportunity. An opportunity for me to grow, an opportunity for me to love, an opportunity for me to serve, to push in and to build some of those relationships. And as I said in my previous preach as well, friends, we need to also realize that it is a natural human reality that when people are together, we're going to find our way to the people that we know. So, you know, psychologists say if you had to go to a cocktail party and you were surrounded by a bunch of strangers, you would go and strike up the conversation with your enemy. Because that at least is somebody that you know. We do flock together with the people we know. It's a human aspect. But that shouldn't justify our unwillingness sometimes to take a walk across and to introduce ourselves, to be able to experience and to look past some of our differences. And even in our conversations, friends, sometimes, just recently I was in a conversation with someone and they just by virtue of, they were sharing about a specific scenario. But then they added some racial aspects. You know, they stereotyped the person or the scenario. And I thought to myself, in the moment, I didn't register. But the person next to me, I was so thankful. They said to me, oh, but now, it could have been, you know, you singled out this particular type of person. But it could have been any type of person. In that situation, you know, somebody that's committing a crime, they're committing a crime. I don't have to say it was an Indian person. You know, I'll tell you a quick funny story that happened years ago. I was running this ministry school with Mark, and we had a young man by the name of Nishal, and he was an Indian young man, and we had our group, and we went down to Pick and Pay, Pick and Pay Hyper. I had my big 21-seater bus, and we were on our way, and I said to the guys, listen, I'm leaving at this time. You've got to be back in the bus by this time. Else I'm leaving you here, because my dad's in the military and I had been raised, we leave certain times. So now the time comes and goes, I stretch it a little bit, eventually I get in the, we start the bus, I start slowly driving, if you know the big parking lot there at Pick and Pay. So we got to there where the Mr. Price, the plastics, crazy plastics or whatever it is now. And as I'm driving, I see Nishalin is running in front and Bertus van der Westhuizen was behind, and Bertus is screaming, hey, wait, and out of nowhere, a car guard comes and clubs Nishalin from nowhere. He comes, you see him running, next thing a guy comes, takes him out, like completely, like takes him out, and you can just see the shock and the horror, and we were like, what's going on? Bertus is like, whoa, what's going on? You're like, why are you assaulting this guy? What's going on? And the car guard said, I saw Indian guy running, white guy behind saying, whoa. I just put two and two together and I was helping. I'm helping you. I'm a security here. Weeks later, I had to take Nishalin back to the car park to find the car guard so that he could actually have a conversation with him and say, listen, I forgive you for taking me out. Misunderstanding, completely innocent. But friends, sometimes we take action based on our assumption. Can I encourage us, friends? If you have been wronged by someone's assumption, can you maybe have the courage? And we're going to speak into this next week. Forgiveness and bitterness. God wants us to be free from those things. But especially in this area, friends, can we maybe have the conversation to be able to say, listen, I have been wronged, and this was very difficult for me, and it's been terrible for me what I experienced, and it was not right at any level. And we laugh about it because it's funny, but it's terrible. We should take the time to say, Lord, can you bring some healing and restoration, engaging with God, but also then engaging with those who have wronged us? Because sometimes, and I mean, Amo and I have had conversations when I have offended him, or he has offended me, and then I'm like, Amo, we got to talk. You said this, and he comes to me, Gareth, you said this, you did this, and we're able to talk it out, pray through it, apologize, explain. All of a sudden, I realize, oh, okay, this is what happened. You didn't mean it. I made assumption, and that wasn't helpful for us So if I had to say, friends, if we had to look at what is our dream, the dream for City on the Hill, is that we would be a church that is free. Free from sin, free from the bondage of fear, but also free from some of these prejudices that we would experience and encounter. And that, as Amos said, that we would be a church that's at the forefront, spearheading in our workplaces, in your families. Now, you don't have to become an activist, because the world has got a lot of activists, and I don't know how effective that sometimes is. It's easy to put up a sign and to almost by force say, things must change. But actually, real, true transformation and change happens when it happens in my heart and when I, on an ongoing basis, am in love, with sincerity, with clarity, embracing and helping people to see, listen, you're making an assumption, but there is no reality. Maybe some thoughts from, closing thoughts from you, Amu.
I think what you've just said, it's so great. You know, I've had a conversation with few of us, and most of us can sense that in this season God wants us here. I don't think we are only here to get as much as we can and then leave. We are here also to contribute in some way. And it would be an injustice, if I may use such a hard word, that either me or you, we are here, but we're not doing our part, we're not playing any role. And yet we know what God has put on the inside of us. What I love about our church is that, yes, you can communicate what God has laid in your heart, but you're not necessarily asking for a permission. It's just that you are in a house, and we've got leaders in the house. So you can't just jump and do whatever you want to do, but you can always communicate with them. So you can serve God in the respective way that He has gifted you. And that is the opportunity that we have. It's highly possible that the Lord sent you here because there is a need of what you carry. There's a need of what you carry. You're not here to just warm the seat or to be a spectator. That also doesn't help, in a sense that if a person is a spectator and they are gifted, they become critical. Everything that is done in the house, they've got something to say. Did you see the way Bertus moved, the way Gareth spoke? It's because you are seated. You're not playing your part. If you were playing your part, some of the mistakes that you are seeing, you would not see them. You would not see them. So for all of us, we have a role to play. I don't know whether you have to do outreaches. I don't know whether you have to be involved with Ignite. I don't know whether you have to be involved with young adults. But all of us, we've got something that we can bring on the table that will contribute to the elasticity of what the Lord is doing in this church. There is something happening. There is something happening. I mean, if maybe I can go on. We go to the rehab. And when we're going to the rehab, it's a mixture of us. It's a mixture of us. It's not just me. It's a group of us going in there. And I have realized that as much as it's not what we're seeking, when we get in there, because there's diversity, yet in unity, somehow we command respect. Because they can see that we mean what we're coming there to do. We're not pretending or trying to tick a box to say that, no, we are reaching out to the rehab. Because if you've got Gareth and you've got somebody else is going there with me, and we say we're from city on a hill, then they say there must be something about this church that you sing people from different backgrounds coming together to share Christ with a group of people. And that is the way it's supposed to be. That's the opportunity that is standing in front of us. If I was to ask a question, not that we are boasting, how many churches around Klerksdorp that are as diversified as we are? I mean, we are in Klerksdorp, not Johannesburg. What we're experiencing here, you can find in Johannesburg. But we have it in Klerksdorp. There has to be something. Amen. There has to be something that the Lord wants to accomplish in and through our church. And all of us must step up. Must step up. If you know you are a leader, you can lead a light group, you have to embrace that. And you have to be courageous enough to say, I'm going to do it. Yes. If you know that you can serve in any other way within the church, you have to make a decision and say, I'm going to serve. This is between you and the Lord. We don't say this often, but it's between you and the Lord. Because all of us one day, we will have to account for all the years that I sent you to be part of City on a Hill. What have you done? Sure. Did you partner with me? Did you partner with the eldership team? Did you submit to the vision of the house? Did you embrace the mission of the church? Did you yield to what I was doing in the church? Because all of us would have to stand before him and say, I have done my part. You know, although me and Gareth, you know, fought a lot and all of that, or sometimes there was a misunderstanding between me and Bart, but we have still looked for a way to say, we are together in this thing. You are here, I'm here. The only thing we can do is for us to reconcile and do what God wants us to do, or allow him rather to do what he wants to do in and through us.
Amen. Amen, friends. So friends, I think just to summarize again our conversation this morning. Firstly, we don't have to be a product of our circumstance. And we don't have to be bound by our circumstance. God has placed within us gifts and abilities that we all need from one another. And that's why the New Testament, if we look at the church, the beauty is that it is one another. One to another. And we have the privilege to be a part of seeing lives transformed, a city transformed, the nations of the world being impacted. Right now, there's a diversity mixed up in Tosca and Bray, busy helping a church plant in that area. Afrikaners, coloreds, Indians, English, everybody working together. Friends, God is doing something. Because it's not just because of us, but because that is his church. And Jesus says that it is through the church that the manifold wisdom of God would be revealed. The mysteries, the power of what God has placed within us, the human race. We all bleed the same. We have been called from Adam. We've been created from Adam. But now we have been made part of the second Adam, Christ, unified and united under one banner. And that is Christ.